Chase and Big Joe live, SEC Media Days. Our coverage continues. Day number three presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. And Joe, we are very excited about our next guest because this is someone that I know we both have watched call a lot of games as an offensive coordinator, as a head coach, and worked with a couple of Manning boys as well. Coach David Cutcliffe is here with us. Coach, how are you?
Well, I'm great. Here I am talking to a place in the Middle Tennessee area. Is one of the places I'm most fond of in this world, not just in the United States, and so many great memories in the state of Tennessee and particularly in that area.
So what are you doing now?
I'm working for the Southeastern Conference in football relations. When I retired, I got a call from Commissioner Sankey, and he said, would you consider coming on board in this volatile time to give us some coach insight and have the ability to maybe communicate in and out back and forth with our coaches? And I said, well, let me think. Then I called him back and I said, fly me down. I want to get a feel for who everybody is there. And when I went down, I was really impressed with the people that he had surrounded himself with. So I've been doing that. This will be the third season. And people say, what do you do? Football. I mean, I make campus visits in the spring, campus visits in the summer, sometimes periodically. Other times, I'm going to go to games, but I'm on the phone. I'm texting with coaches. And then I have a part of me that has got enough energy still to stay involved with keeping up with everything that's going on legislatively.
Yeah.
Which means there are hand grenades going off all around you all the time, right?
There's no question there. What was yesterday like to, you know, with your relationship with the Mannings and coaching Peyton, coaching Eli, and now seeing Arch, Cooper's son, come through as the quarterback of Texas? I have a feeling that was pretty cool to see.
I loved it. I've had a long relationship with Arch. Cooper would bring him to Duke, and we would sneak a few workouts in. Yeah. And I met with him yesterday morning prior to everything going on, and he was in an awesome spirit. I call it the big two with him, and I've used this with his uncles and other players through the years that are high-profile people. I said, you know the big two? And he said, I do. And the first one of the big two is talk about your teammates. Be the best teammate on the team. Get it away from being centered here. Talk about your teammates. Be the best teammate on the team. The second one is we don't work football. We go play football.
Yeah.
Make sure you're smiling and that you understand you're playing football. And no matter how transactional college football can become, and I'm going to start calling it higher education football because we need a reminder of that.
Yeah.
But no matter what we do in the transactional part of it, these are young people that are still, for the most part, children. Think about yourself at 19, 20, and even 21. And so we definitely need to remind them all the time, you're playing football, man. How cool is that?
Right.
Yeah.
You're getting to play. You don't have to practice. You're getting to practice. There's a lot of young people around that played high school football that would have liked to have continued to play college football.
Right.
Let's not make it transactional only. That makes sense to you too.
Perfect sense. We're here with the great David Cutcliffe here on Radio Row, the Chase and Big Joe Show. I got to ask, you work with Peyton, Eli, Daniel Jones, all these guys. How much did you have to turn down? I mean, I'm sure there's quarterbacks who reached out to you and people all the time. I got to think there's this long list. It's like, hey, I got to do this. I'm sorry I can't help that. Because you're so beloved because of what you did with Peyton and with Eli.
Well, we've had great fortune. I get asked a lot. I'm trying to be more true to my wife than I am football after 40 some odd years of being married in football with her and football. So I turn down a lot of things, and you know, I'm loyal to our people. I have a lot of young men that are coaching in the NFL and collegiately that I'll spend time with them, and we talk about football mechanics and of a quarterback. We talk about the mental mechanics of a quarterback. And it's just so reaching what you have to grasp and do. And I have a Eli's backup at Ole Miss, who was a walk-on that I put on scholarship, David Morris, is in Mobile, Alabama. And look up quarterback country. He's done a phenomenal job of teaching quarterback play all over this country. He's wow. developed a great business. I go down occasionally and spend time with David. He trains people for the draft. He trains high school people, junior high people. Quarterback country is a neat thing. And then Anthony Boone, who was the winningest quarterback in Duke football history, works for David and has a franchise in the Charlotte area. So that's how far-reaching it is. So I get to impact it still in some ways.
I think it's great. Yeah, I'm going to go back real quick. You were telling Arch about be a good teammate. I saw you walk around looking at some of the things around the College Football Hall of Fame. There's a Bo Schembechler wall kind of back there with a quote, and it says, team, 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 like nine things, says just team only. How you talk about that with Arch, and, you know, team, it is important that he knows that, right?
Yes, and I hope that the most wonderful thing about higher education football is the fan base. We're not professional football. We serve as a minor league to professional football. Think about how expensive it would be for the NFL to have a minor league football. There's no fan base.
Right.
It would lose money. So I think the respect I have for what the traditions are, I am a traditionalist. I was influenced by Coach Bryant. I was influenced going and sitting. I was a clinic fiend young and listening to Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler. I was fortunate to have a personal relationship with many of the great ones. Good gosh, you know, I had conversations at Tennessee, and your listeners will have to look up who Skeeter Bailey was. Skeeter Bailey was General Nealon's line coach. We had great conversations. He said something to me when I was really young. He was asking me some personal questions, and I had a lot of trauma in my youth. And I told him I got tired of people telling me to, you know, when you get knocked down, you got to get back up. I'm like, yeah, tell me something that's not so obvious. You
know? Right.
And he said, let me tell you what it is. He said, the general, we used to have a saying, nobody won a football game laying on the ground. He said, let me ask you, David, have you ever cooked? And I said, some, yes, sir. He said, you ever get your hand on the eye of a stove that was hot? I said, yes, sir. And he said, how quick did you get it off? Quick as I could. He said, there it is. It's not about getting up. Be the first one up. Treat the ground like a hot stove, boy. You hear what I'm telling you? And I said, yes, sir. So everybody that's ever played or coached with David Cutcliffe knows what hot stove means. Get your butt up off the ground. And I don't care if it's physically on a practice field or a game field or after a game you just got defeated. Hot stove. What a great reminder. Hot stove. So, yeah, I'm a traditionalist because that makes a difference. Those are the lessons that Coach Nealon and Skeeter Bailey and that staff taught young people. And then I had conversations with some successful men in my Tennessee time that had played for the general, and they knew exactly what hot stove.
Hot stove. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, when y'all are feeling down, just say to yourself, hot stove, boom, I'm ready.
Nice.
We're talking to Coach David Cutcliffe here on the Chasing Big Joe show. So I'm curious, you going to Alabama and growing up in Alabama, how did you end up at the University of Tennessee and be there for so long?
Well, it's an interesting story. I had developed a friendship with Coach Fulmer when he was an assistant coach at Vanderbilt.
Yep.
And he was recruiting. He signed one of our kids. I was a head high school coach, doing exactly what I wanted to do because that's what saved my life at 15 was George White and his staff. And so happy. And then Philip went to Tennessee, and then he called me and said, Coach Majors, in that era, college football didn't start quite as early, was going to come to an August practice. So Came down and went to an August practice, was supposed to be there 15 minutes, and he stayed the whole practice. Wow. And I didn't talk to him because in that era, I was the offensive and defensive coordinator and the head coach. I had four assistants. That's how we ran. And I didn't know what he wanted. So I called the team up and let them go. And then he came over and says, could I see you in your office a minute? Yes, sir. I thought, man, I'm in trouble. And then he said, where'd you learn to coach like that? And I told him my past, and I told him that, you know, at Alabama and how things were done. And I told him, you know, that my high school coach was exceptional and, you know, efficiency and all of the things. And Coach Majors was a great practice coach. He was a great strategist of a game because he'd been a single wing tailback and a free safety man. Yeah. He called it a safety man, but he was calling things as a player. But he looked at me and he said, that may be the best high school football practice I've ever seen. He said, I'm going to call you after the season and offer you a job. And I'm in my mind like, yeah, right. You know, yeah.
I've never seen
tell me which guy do you want to sign?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And sure enough, Philip called me and said, Coach Majors wants to fly you up and talk to you about a job. So that's how I ended up at Tennessee. It was an interesting trip up. I was single, you know, doing really well. He offered the job. I accepted it without ever asking him what he was going to pay me. And when I got my first check, I went to check with him. I said, excuse me, coach, what length is this for? He said, that's a month. I said, coach, he said, it's not healthy for a young, single SEC assistant football coach to make too much money. So I told him about 2 years later, we're in Miami recruiting, and I had met my wife-to-be, and I knew I wanted to get married. And I said, Coach, I hadn't thanked you properly. He said, what are you in? And I'm driving. And he said, for what? And I said, Coach, I am the healthiest assistant football coach in all of college football. But I need a raise. Okay?
Oh, that's great.
But that's how I ended up at Tennessee, and very fortunate to develop the relationship with Coach Fulmer through those years and the other coaches that we worked with. And then, of course, Coach Majors, I'm serious. His methods weren't always the same as I would use, but his attention to detail, his ability to see the field helped me. And I'll say this, because he could be brutal. I was taught by players at Tennessee to put my back to the fence, where I always knew his whereabouts, where he couldn't sneak up on you. And they would always give a signal. They would say, look sharp, look sharp. And as soon as that meant coach was on his way. Man, you go to coaching hard, boy. Thank you, players. Thank you.
Oh, yes. I tell you one instance that I had to meet Coach Majors when I got recruited. I was at TMI. I came up to Tennessee. It was the game y'all tied Army in 86.
Yes, it wasn't fun.
And we were supposed to meet Coach Majors after the game, and he just came down. Thank you. I mean, just like walking in a line. I was like, I want to talk to Johnny May. But I understood. I mean, you guys had tied Army, and he was livid.
He was very livid. And I had those moments, too. My wife always likes to talk. We went down, you know, I'm calling offense, and we went down to LSU, and we beat them. And in the locker room, man, we're all down. And we didn't play very well on offense. And he came by me, and everybody's celebrating. And he says, what the hell are you saying? A victory, coach, you know. He said, the defense won that game. All right, that's the way it is. Well, I think I've got to keep moving, guys.
You do. You do. Thank you so much for stopping by and doing this.
We could
spend hours with you, but thanks so much for doing this.
Appreciate it. We'll talk down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach David Cutcliffe joining us here from Radio Row. It's all presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. More coming at 102.5 The Game.